Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, June 3rd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 23, that first paragraph. These observations would be academic through one paragraph ending and refuse to talk, commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Leela S. Readers of the text, Lisa N., Dana P., and Eileen M. The reference number for Sunday, June 2nd, is 21,452. That's 21452. And for this morning, June 3rd, just one second here, I apologize. The reference number is 21,453. That's 21453. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. A big thank you to everyone who is providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. And I'll now ask Leela S. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Leela S., recovered compulsive overeater from Missouri. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me read, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Leela S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 23, the first paragraph. These observations would be academic through one paragraph ending and refuse to talk, commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Lisa N. to please read and then share with us.
Thank you so much, Dawn, for taking the meeting this morning. Good morning, everyone. Lisa N. from Wisconsin, grateful compulsive overeater. These observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first drink, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. If you ask him why he started on that last bender, the chances are he will offer you any one of 100 alibis. Sometimes these excuses have a certain plausibility, but none of them really make sense in the light of the havoc to, of the havoc an alcoholic's drinking bout creates. Sorry about that. They sound like the philosophy of the man who, having a headache, beats himself on the head with a hammer so that he can't feel the ache. If you draw this fallacious reasoning to the attention of an alcoholic, he will laugh it off or become irritated and refuse to talk. And again, I'm sorry I goofed that up. Like I said, I have so much writing and print over that I couldn't even read my words. So what this says to me right away is there's something wrong with my mind. The main problem centers in my mind. And what it's referring to from the paragraph before, just to remind you, because that was read on Friday, is that that problem is that the observation is that if I take in, or an alcoholic takes in their allergen or the alcohol, something happens, both mind and body, and it makes it virtually impossible to stop. And that was like me with food. Before this program, I would have one bite, and I knew that's all I intended to have, but I was always going to finish whatever was there, whether it was on my plate, whether it was in a pan, whether it was somebody else's food, I was going to finish it. And I couldn't stop. But the one thing I also wanted to mention too, it was the definition of the word fallacious. And that is, I had to look it up because I really didn't know it. Containing a fallacy logically, I can't read my handwriting again, deceptive or misleading, logically unsound. So I am led. How am I led to overeat? Well, it's usually a resentment or a fear. And it says on page 64 that resentment is the number one offender. And it destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Because if I get something in my craw, like a fear that I can't get rid of or a resentment I just can't let go of, that's going to get the ball rolling. So, you know, I can say to myself that this program has really helped me. I have to face every day who I am, what I am, and I am weak. I am powerless. But there's a power greater than me, and it's so willing to help me, and it's so willing to help anyone who sincerely wants the help. So if you're new, want help, don't leave. This program works, and it did for me. It changed everything. It changed my relationships. It changed my body, which is why I came in the first place, and I'm very grateful for all the changes, and I want to keep changing. I don't want to stay the same. So thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa Ann, for getting us started. I will now take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Hello. Excuse me. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I came in a few minutes late. Can you tell me what paragraph we're on page 23?
Sure. Paragraph 1, page 23, it starts with, these observations would be academic through one paragraph ending and refuse to talk. So who else would like to share? I have Eileen M. So
Elaine G.
Elaine G.
Rob H.
Juanice M.
Rob H. Juanice
N. N is in Nancy.
Okay. Thank you so much, Juanice.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Ann A.
Was that Kim A?
No, Ann, A-N-N, Ann.
Oh, Ann, thank you so much. Ann A. All right, that's a good lineup. We have Eileen M., Elaine G., Rob H., Juanice N., Deborah G., and Ann A. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead. Eileen N., please get us started.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New Hampshire. This is a really good paragraph, and it is, you know, the way I read it, it's an illustration of insanity because, you know, we know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And to me, that is the perfect definition of this disease, you know, is doing that same thing over and over. And I had no idea why I was doing it. You know, I certainly had a lot of excuses for compulsive overeating, but I really didn't understand why I did it. And, you know, it's really the thinking that sets the terrible cycle in motion. Because, you know, we're told in the big book this is a disease of thinking. And, you know, when you think about your last binge, like, what was the thinking that preceded the first bite? Because that's where the main problem is. You know, we know it's a disease of the body as well, but it's really, you know, the main problem is the thinking. And, you know, it's so interesting. I used to think that I overate over my external circumstances. And if only those would improve, then I would stop eating and stay stopped. But I was, you know, dependent on things outside myself changing instead of changing inside. You know, the good news is that the steps address the problem with the mind. And, you know, if we work all 12 steps with entire abstinence, we will have a spiritual awakening. The Big Book guarantees that. You know, and when we get the spiritual awakening, you know, we get a change in our thinking so that compulsive overeating is no longer an option. You know, we know that it's not going to fix our circumstances. And I'm so grateful for that because now, you know, now I have a way to deal with unmanageability. You know, the things that make my life unmanageable are resentments and fears. You know, and I have a way to deal with it now. And I don't have to sit in those feelings very long. And I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Rob H.
Oh, yeah, this is Elaine G. from New York. I can really relate to this paragraph. Before I got this sponsor that I don't have anymore because she realized she has no time, but anyway, I was insanely compulsively eating. You know, I was eating over my son, I was eating over my sister, I was eating over my ex-girlfriend. I thought they were the problem. You know, I was the problem, actually. And, you know, because I wasn't even attempting to deal with this. You know, the food's going to be the solution, you know. But I do realize these 5 days that I have abstinence, almost 5 days, and that from people in the program, that my higher power, rely completely on my higher power for everything, you know. And so that's what I've been doing. I mean, there's this one woman that called me from the Vision for You a few days ago, and she was instrumental. She told me when you pray, ask God for a strong desire and willingness to do things. So I do that all day long, you know, and can continue this. And it's amazing that I wake up, I feel great. I feel really good. Even though this sponsor dropped me. Yeah, I got upset. She dropped me because I'm in the middle of my fourth step. And now I have to decide who I'm going to do the fifth step with, amongst other things. Stressful. But I'm going to be able to do it because I'm abstinent. If I decide not to be abstinent and eat, I definitely won't be able to deal with this at all, you know? But it seems like when I'm abstinent, I can deal with practically everything, you know? And this morning, I did most of my praying, yeah. And I got to do my meditations, and I said I had to get on this meeting to find a sponsor. And you know, when you know, I need a sponsor that's not going to be strict. They think I'm going to be perfect, and a sponsor that can have time for me. You know, because I get people that work and they have no time for me, and maybe that was my mistake, because she says she worked. You know, and in the past I've had sponsors that worked and didn't work out. But anyway, gotta have a sponsor. Can't do it myself. My friend tells me, go get another sponsor from a different fellowship. I don't think so. No. But anyway, I thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Rob H., please share with us, followed by Juanice N., and let us know where you're calling from, Rob.
Thanks. Sure. This is Rob H., recovered compulsive overeater from upstate New York. These observations, so that first were the observations, really bad into it. You know, I wasn't making any observations. there was no observing anything. There was no looking at myself, looking at my actions. There was nothing to do with that. So, you know, with this program, I can, well, with the meditation, when I started doing meditation, then I could, you know, I could practice observing things. But before that, there was no observations. I did go to school, and you know, I took fine art, and so I would, you know, sit there and stare at you know, the still life and stuff, and draw from that. But yeah, observations about myself, about my eating, that just didn't happen. And of course, the rest of school, I wasn't really that great at anyway. But and it would be pointless if the friend never took the first drink, setting the terrible cycle in motion. Yeah. You know, if I stayed away from the first one, then nothing else would happen. And that's obvious to me now. But I also need I also need reminders daily, you know, from other people, talking to other people that this happens, that, you know, you're going to take that first bite, and it's going to set the cycle in motion. So I need to go to meetings. I need to make outreach calls. And the main problem centers in his mind. I don't think anybody likes to hear that. You know, I work at a psychiatric hospital, and you know, no matter who you are, nobody wants to hear that the problem is with my thinking. You know, because everybody thinks, well, it's just thoughts. It's thinking in my head. You know, it's all right. You know. Because that's all I hear all day, or that's all I think about all day. So it's obviously correct. And no one wants to hear that it might be wrong, you know, that those thoughts that I may be thinking might be harmful to me. But, and then, you know, asking why I start on the last bender. I've heard, you know, somebody else say this, but I really identify it. You know, there was no why I started on it. I just felt like, you know, like I heard somebody else say, like a shark in the water, and there's blood in the water. I'm going for the blood in the water. And I just, that's the way I was. No plausibility to any other excuses that I might have. The havoc was, you know, me isolating from my family, and, you know, just maiming my body, like it says in the OA literature.
Time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just a good paragraph. Glad to be here. And I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rob H. from New York. Juanis N., it's your turn, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, everyone. This is Juanis N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And thank you so much for your service and encouragement for others to share. And I'm certainly no expert, but here we go. Okay, these observations would be academic and poor, and I appreciate everyone who has shared so far. It's been wonderful. If our friend never took the first drink, if I never took the first bite, if I could just not take the first bite, you know, I remember hearing this, this is not the first bite, it's the first bite that's the problem, not the fifth or whatever, you know, and, but how do I not take that first bite? It was so baffling to me that because I didn't understand that I was never going to not be able to take that first bite unless I had a psychic change, a spiritual experience. I was trying so hard for so many years to try to understand God's power, and I didn't even know I was doing that. I'm like, how do you not take the first bite? I mean, I understand it physically. You don't go, you don't get it, you don't put it in your mouth, but how do I not do that? I didn't understand at all that the mind that I have had to have a spiritual awakening. I had to have a completely different outlook on life, and I couldn't bring that about in my own strength. I had to have that power greater than mine. I really had to have a true, bona fide miracle, or I would have never stopped taking that first bite, setting in motion. I would have, this terrible cycle in motion, I would have never been able to stop believing that eating to get over the pain of being fat was okay. You know, the hammer, beating myself in the head with the hammer. Okay, I'm so miserable that I'm fat, I'm just going to keep eating. You know, that's true insanity. But I would have never, ever been able to see it or change or stop if I had not had the power of God to step in and change my thinking, and that's in that area. Now I can recoil and stop and all that other stuff. But it's so baffling. It was so baffling to me. How could I really truly want to not do something but not be able to not do it? What do you mean? But I don't want to. Wow. Anyway, that's all from me today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Juanice N. from California. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Ann A., and if you're just joining us, we are on page 23, talking about the first paragraph. These observations would be academic through one paragraph ending and refuse to talk. So, Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Ann A., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service and everyone that made this meeting possible, and welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us. You don't have to be alone in this or live like you're living. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And I was remembering how I was putting the alcoholic foods into my body. And at times, maybe I had a glimpse, you know, that I was doing this, but it was fleeting. You know, it just went away and just the disease was stronger than my thinking, you know, and of that thought. And it was my thinking, you know, and getting into that place again and again because of my thinking. And you know what I was wondering today was because of all the meetings that I went to and all the steps work that I did and all the experience that I had was helping me to wake up more and more and more. And it wasn't until I was in Herb Kay's workshop in the middle of it, again, going through the steps to try and get an awakening, a spiritual experience, that I woke up and I saw my last alcoholic food. I had a fork in one hand, salt shaker in the other. I was salting every single bite. I could see that. I could see that insanity. And, oh, my God, it's like, I can't do this anymore. There, and I put it down. I called this woman in visions that I heard on a special edition. I loved her share. I was hoping she'd sponsor me. And there was a part of me that thought, oh, I don't know if she's going to sponsor me. And I called her, and she said she would and take me through the steps. And I went through those steps quickly. And I got free. And now it's just continuing to live this way of life with those beautiful 12 steps and continuing to try to stay awake, stay alive, stay alert. You know, and I can go asleep unconscious, but when I do the actions, I continue to get awakened again, you know, and I'm so glad there is a solution. And I don't have to live like that anymore. And thank you all for holding hands and helping me through this. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Ann A., please share with us.
Oh, thank you so much, moderator. I'm so sorry I missed the first minute of the meeting. So I don't know your name. My name is Ann A., and I'm in New York. And what beautiful shares. Thank you, everyone. You know, a lot has been said, but what I can share from my own experience is that I'm sick. I have a spiritual malady, and it manifested itself with a sick brain, the sick thoughts being consumed by this disease, our disease. From the time I left the program at 20, 21, till when I was, my life changed when I entered again at 65. And all those, the sick thoughts, you know, I'll start tomorrow, this diet, now I take that pill, I restrict this and that, all insanity. And then it was so interesting. My husband once stopped me and he said to me, "Ann, all you think about is food." And I had fallacious, and I just laughed that off. I just laughed it off. My God, he was dead right. And it took me a few more years to realize and to admit and to surrender that I'm hopeless. And, you know, this disease is permanent, progressive, and fatal. And what's my solution? My solution, our solution is my God, is the power greater than myself. And more than ever, I am praying fervently and meditating. And God now enters my thoughts. I don't have those food thoughts. I don't have that mental blank spot. Once in a while I do, I have to admit that. But I just go back to God. I go back to God and I ask him and I listen. And he talks to me quietly. And I'm at peace. And when I need more ideas, I get them from you, my beautiful fellows in this magnificent fellowship. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anne A. from New York. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Page 23, the first paragraph, these observations would be academic through one paragraph ending and refuse to talk. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Kelly L.
I heard Kelly L. And Sherry Z.
Julie P.
Julie P.
Sherry
HM. And was there a Donna in there?
Polly Q.
Polly Q.
KF from Iowa.
And KF from Iowa. And we'll go ahead and stop there. I have Kelly L., Sherry Z., Julie P., Sherry HM., Polly Q., and KF.
Jamie N.
And Jamie, we'll put you on in the end, and hopefully we will have time for you.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Jamie. All right. So, Kelly L., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Sherry Z.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kelly L. from Washington State, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And thank you, moderator, and for everyone else for your service this morning. This paragraph just brings me back to the beginning of my program. I've been in for about 11 months. And I remember when I first read this paragraph, it really was the beginning of my first spiritual awakening, because I remember connecting it so clearly with other things that I'm allergic to, you know, like kiwis, for example. My lips swell, my tongue swells. It's incredibly painful, even though it really only lasts for maybe an hour. Well, eating kiwis one time and getting that response was enough for me. Like, I never had to do it again. I don't have to attend daily meetings. I don't have to journal and meditate and pray or anything about it. I just have the sense to stay away from kiwis. And, you know, I tend to live in the academic world and, you know, think with my, you know, think and, you know, spend a lot of time idolizing that. And when I got to this paragraph, I thought, you know, it was like the first crack in that thinking where I could start letting the light of a higher power in. And because what are we to do? You know, especially for those of us who we gave ourselves lots of pride on our minds and our ability to think and solve problems and get degrees and get jobs and, you know, have all these quote unquote successes in life. If our bodies have an allergic reaction to something and we cannot stop, then what are you to do? If you can't trust your own mind, what do you have? You know, and I remember thinking that, like, I'm screwed, literally screwed if my mind is not what's going to protect me. And, you know, of course, what I didn't know then, but I know now, is that defeat, that hopelessness, that desperation, and that surrender was the very first opportunity I had to come to believe in a higher power. And, you know, I was one of the ones who thought I was atheist. I thought I was agnostic. I I didn't think this program would work for me. And of course, my sponsor, you know, let me know that it was very roomy. I could choose any of my own conception, and that's really all it took. And, you know, 11 months in, I have an amazing relationship with a higher power. I get up early every day. I got to spend 30 plus minutes this morning. And, you know, I went through all different terms for that, creative intelligence, higher power. And, you know, now I've come to call my higher power God. And I'm just so grateful for this mental twist because I would never be here with all of you in a healthy body and healthy mind. And thank you so much, everybody. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly L. from Washington. Sherry Z., it's your turn, followed by Julie P.
Good morning, visionaries. Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service and to all who show up today. This disease centers in the mind. So before I'm about to hit star one and volunteer to do service or speak, my head says, you don't have anything to say. Why would you share? When's the last time you shared? If it's not perfect, are you going to get accolades? This is the disease. The disease was not what I put in my mouth, but I put in the mouth was my solution to that noise in my head. And I would like to say that the only thing that has calmed that noise is God. Because I did everything. I did therapy and this and that, all drugs, whatever it was to calm the noise. But I couldn't calm the noise because the noise is where the disease lives. And my solution was the food. And by the grace of God, my solution today isn't the food. And I sometimes get mad that there's still the noise. Sometimes there's the noise. The noise this morning was, you know, what do you have to say? Why do you need to speak? Other people should speak. Who are you? You know, that's the noise. That's the mental twist. That's what centers in my brain. But today, by the grace of God, I heard another voice, literally a still small whisper, God say, I don't care what you think. Share. I don't care what you think. Share. And when I started to listening to that still small voice, things started to change. So I'm so grateful to be here because the noise will never go away. That is where the disease lives. The solution will change. And my solution today is God. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z. from California. Julie P., please share with us, followed by Sherry H.M.
Good morning. My name is Julie P., currently in Minnesota. I am the real deal, a compulsive overeater. And I am also going to piggyback that my main problem centers in my mind. I have a note in my sidebar that says 11.5 steps deal with the mind and 0.5 with the body. And the second note is my spiritual condition controls my mind. I am so grateful for all of you here. I'm grateful that I have found a vision for you and a way. I can tell you that last week my mind was on fire. Absolute fire because of life events and circumstances surrounding me. And without the commitment that I have made to this program since December 29th, 2021, I know I would have been back in the food because that was the solution. And without the commitment that I've made through thick and thin, I know that I would not be on the phone this morning. I would be in a bag, a box. It doesn't matter. But I know that if I keep coming back, if I keep dealing with my mind, the main part of my addiction is my thinking. And just keep talking to my peeps and doing those 10 steps and living in the solution instead of the problem, I know that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be with my higher power. And if you're out there struggling, please just stay committed because things will get better. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota. Sherry H.M., please share, followed by Polly Q.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M., recovered so gratefully from Washington State. Gosh, this is just another amazing paragraph because it talks about, okay, the problem is in my mind, and talking also about having, if someone has a headache, beats himself on the head with a hammer so that he can't feel the ache, which is just what I did, especially with sugar and some other ingredients. It's like I would sit there and I would just stuff myself, go down the elevator shaft of shame and be like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Why can't I stop? There must be something wrong with me. And then later learning that, you know, sugar or addiction is certainly possible with food and that I certainly have it. And so then finding the program about 10 years ago and realizing, hey, this book does say there is a solution. That solution is my higher power. So I met with someone from the program who I'd met in Al-Anon as well. And after drinking that peppermint mocha at Starbucks, drove home and said, oh God, please, 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 will you please help me? Because I can't do this. And it's a program, you know, I can't do it. My higher power, who I call God, is who takes away that desire. But I never thought it would happen to me. I just thought, okay, well, that happens to other people, but I can't imagine living without my certain foods. But I stuck to the one day at a time. That was absolutely pivotal because one day at a time, God got me through it. And I used, you know, I used the steps. This is why it says to work the steps really quickly. Bill worked all of them in 6 days or less. And because that would get me out of the food. I had a sponsor, my first one from Vision. She had kept off like 150 pounds for 15 years. And she said, oh, if you would have started doing the steps really fast, you would have been out of the cravings much faster. But at the time, I did not know about Vision. I didn't even know that people use the big book. So just keep on, you know, realizing that, gosh, we can't do it ourselves, but our higher power can do it, and stick on one day at a time. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Polly Q., it's your turn, followed by K.F.
This is Polly Q. May I be heard?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm never sure if I'm muted or unmuted. Your service moderator. I don't get on this line for other people. You know, I call in for me. And I didn't commit to anything like that for many years while I was in Overeaters Anonymous. And therefore, because I worked the program a little bit, I kind of got a little bit of the program. And you know, was still 100 pounds overweight or 75 pounds overweight and fighting, battling with that white knuckling abstinence, the other weight that I had lost years before. So I am a food addict of the hopeless variety. And the thing I see with this addiction is we're screwed. We are screwed. Because he's saying if our friend never took the first drink, well, we're going to have to take the first bite, aren't we? And I have to tell you, I've had to change my abstinence. I've had to change it. Because the first bite I could take that didn't set me into the addiction changed. The food changed. Suddenly, that bite was starting to feel compulsive. And I had to change the food plan again. We're screwed if all this is about the food and even getting in the meetings. I'm screwed. I will not remain abstinent. This is where the buck stops. I have got to understand all 12 steps. I have to work them every day. I have to make 3 outreach calls. I have to mean them. I have to develop relationships with other food addicts, not just over the phone. I have to share. It doesn't matter if you hear what I say. I have to. And I'm a white knuckling chick, so I can go on that willpower thing for quite a while. It will not work. And I'll be miserable doing it. I have to work this program, all 12 steps. Not read them, not run through them one time, even 2 times, even 5 times. I have to live them one day at a time. Because I wake up and ask every day. I wake up as the most hopeless addict every day with the most hopeless addiction. So I call for me. I sponsor for me. I work that 10th step every day for me. Because if I don't, there's no question about it. I will be in that food tomorrow. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Polly Q. KF, please share with us. KF star 1.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so
and
much.
You just have yes. About a minute to share, Kay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you so much for this meeting. I feel so grateful. I wanted to talk about there's an epidemic, I think, of fallacious reasoning these days, and I'm so grateful that I have a program that I get with my God and I quiet my mind. They're wonderful children, but they tend to be disrespectful, and so my counselor and my sponsor has said I had to start bringing, I had to start confronting it and walking away and not engaging, and there was such peace. No desire to eat at all. I just said my piece. Even when the gaslighting started, you're delusional, you don't know it. And then they sort of attacked me for the fact that I said, you can't talk to me this way. And it used to be that I would, that would set off a binge. That could set off just such self-hatred and self-loathing. Why do they do this? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm just grateful that when I have this program, I called the right people after I bookended it. I did the right thing, and I could stay emotionally sober, food sober, and mentally in a good place. So thank you so much, and glad to be here. That's all I got.
Thank you, Kay.
You'll take it there.
Thank you, KF. And Jamie, please come back tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Dana P. Nice to hear you, Dawn, and everyone that's here today. Many blessings to you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.